The 4th of July is one of the supreme days in our national calendar. On that date in 1776, the original 13 colonies issued an ultimatum declaring unanimously the Declaration of Independence. For many reasons, our founding fathers resorted to this courageous addition and challenge. Because of the many abuses, a desire that was deep for better government, they formulated their now famous declaration, which we include and say today we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence was an act to set the colonies free and left them at liberty to build a new government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This was done not without a tremendous struggle, and they arrived at the Constitution under which we now live and are governed. This noble document was not only human created, but I think as we look, we see that it was aided from above, that it enabled these men to build more wisely than they thought, as our pilgrim fathers sailed the uncharted seas to land at Jamestown and on the English shores in the New England states. We find that these were attempting to fulfill some of the purposes of God. And today we might note that America is not great because of her land, for other nations outbid us here. America is not great because of her mineral resources, because South America is ahead. America is not great for her diamonds, because Africa is ahead at this point. America is not a great because of her people, because China and India are way in advance in population-wise. But I think we have a government here which, under the principles of God's truth, on July the 4th, marked the Declaration of Independence. Many notable things have taken place on July the 4th. Alice in Wonderland was published on this date. John Adams died on July the 4th, 1826. Thomas Jefferson died July the 4th, 1826. James Monroe died 1831, July the 4th. On July the 4th, Calvin Coolidge was born, 1872. And on July the 4th, we have the Declaration of Independence. And on July the 4th, 1965, you are here seated in the South Norfolk Baptist Church, which is a wonderful experience we feel for all of us. And as I think of this July the 4th, this Declaration of Independence, I want this morning to challenge your minds and your hearts concerning a declaration of freedom which we find in the gospel. God's divine plan for salvation of sinners. The gospel of Jesus Christ possesses the property of law. It makes known the true character of God, the works of his creation, for the heavens declare the glory of God. The gospel imposes obligations from God. It teaches us that we are his workmanship, that we are preserved by him. The gospel teaches us that it commands men everywhere to repent, to love their enemies, to do unto others as they would have them to do unto them. All of this instruction comes to our hearts, as in the book of Galatians, Paul said that he received news that there were some who were trying to persuade the Galatians to come under the law of Moses. But Paul says you're under a law of liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ. For if you come under the law of Moses, then you will be under a law of regulation. You will be under a law that will imply that you keep it to the letter without the intent of the law in your heart. You will keep the law as thinking though you have achieved something. And Jesus establishes at this point that we are free indeed in him. He says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Now, the gospel is the law of liberty. We as Americans received our release by the Declaration of the Liberty at Independence. But we find that in the gospel, we have a law of liberty, which is not a yoke, which does not bind us down, because the law of Moses could never release one of sin, could never remove the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin. But we find the gospel is the perfect law of liberty, that it is not obscure, it is not weak, it is not with deficiency. It contains every truth necessary for the salvation of men. America knows that the Declaration of Independence says we hold these truths self-evident, that all men are created equal. The perfect law of God's liberty means that we have here unveiled to us that man in his fallen state can be recovered and will receive obligations and responsibilities. That here is a law, a liberty, which needs no auxiliary, which needs no addition. The law of Moses was unsuitable because it knew no repentance. Second, it made no provision for putting away sin. Third, it required a righteousness which the sinner could not perform. And fourth, the penalty of death was annexed to this transgression. Now Christ, through the gospel, challenges us to come into this liberty. He never challenges us or invites us without giving us strength to do so. Now sinners with their darkened judgment and their understanding may pervert this judgment, but Jesus invites helpless, perishing souls to come to him, and he will supply that which will bring liberty to their hearts. In the book of Galatians, we read that Paul says, some of you have been in liberty, and you have used this liberty for an occasion of stumbling. The same thing is said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul says, do not use this liberty for an occasion of stumbling. The gospel says, therefore, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall become as wool. In man is death, spiritual death, utterly destitute of life, and dead in trespasses and in sins. But in the gospel, we find spiritual light and spiritual liberty. There is a statue that stands 306 feet plus 6 inches above sea level. Around the waist is 32 feet. The fingernails are 13 inches long. The face is 10 feet across. And here is a statue that says, I offer to the tired, I offer to the poor, the masses that yearn for freedom, some refuge. I speak of the Statue of Liberty, which was given to us by the French people July the 4th, 1884. Hence, on this July the 4th, we think of greater history of liberty for nations and for people. These people went about taking an offering of $250,000 and their sculptors and their artists got together and decided on the little small island off Manhattan where they would build this statue, Bedloe's Island, named for a French immigrant. On this island also was Fort Wood, built in 1811. America's symbol of liberty, they say, is built over a prison. And of course, we know that the liberty of the gospel is built over the prison of sin. Here is a copper stone structure with 100 tons of copper in it, which will last, the engineers tell us, 1,000 years, which will stand 140-mile wind gale, standing aloft, proclaiming to all nations and to all people who come into that harbor that here is liberty. There is a mighty torch in the hand of the statue, and this torch was lighted by kerosene lamps up until 1916, when President Woodrow Wilson made other arrangements for floodlights to be installed. This torch alone will accommodate 12 people at once. But here stands this torch of liberty. And on the 50th anniversary of it, the President of the United States said this: liberty and peace are living things. And each generation, if they are to be maintained, they must be guarded and vitalized anew. All of us recognize that the liberty of America has had to be revitalized and renewed time and time again. The only freedom, however, that this nation needs to know, this world needs to know, that you need to know, is the liberty that comes through God. This is bondage unto the divine God who is above. For under his authority, we find freedom indeed. It was this kind of freedom described as the cherubim looked over the mercy seat in the magnificent temple of Solomon, and therein all was described as looking at liberty for mankind. It is the same liberty that was described by the gospel writer John when he described those early disciples coming to the tomb and having to stoop down and look in and see the tomb empty. As John describes it, he said, there was the liberty in the resurrection, the only hope of mankind. Dear friends, above this nation and around the nation today flies Old Glory, which was designed by Betsy Ross. And as that magnificent flag flies in many parts of the world today, a symbol of freedom because of July the 4th, when the Declaration of Independence was signed and was declared. But I submit to you today, the greatest declaration of independence and freedom was signed on Calvary's cross when Jesus Christ, God's own Son, there waving in the sun and the heat and the toil and the sweat, not the red stripes of Old Glory, but the red stripes of Calvary were flowing freely. And we as Christians have liberty, liberty to bear one another's burdens and liberty to bear our own burdens. This liberty I submit to you today that John said in 8:32 was this: and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is the liberty that all men need to know. As Isaiah of old said, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me. He has anointed me a preacher to preach to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the broken hearts and to proclaim liberty to the captives and to open the prison of those who are in bondage. And I think today God has sent his own Son to proclaim liberty unto all who would come into the bounds of his glorious atonement and find forgiveness of their sins. That is to be free indeed. If you have not the freedom of Christ, then you're still in bondage, though you live in a nation of freedom. Let us pray. If you have never experienced this freedom in Jesus Christ as an individual, I beseech you now to open your heart, because this truth is able to make you free. And this would be a memorable 4th of July, 1965. If you would decide to give your life to Jesus Christ, you could always point back to this date and say, as we celebrated the national freedom and independence of our country, I can point back with greater pride to the day when I celebrate my freedom from sin and the bondage of this world, when I found liberty in Jesus Christ. The Christian life is something of freedom and liberty, and God wants to set you free. He is anxious to do so. If there is a man or a woman, boy or girl, who is not a Christian, make this a day of liberation for your soul. We know that liberty of our nation was not without great cost, but liberty of your soul was purchased with a tremendous price, so precious as to take and require the life of Jesus Christ. Make your decision known unto him today. I'm going to ask the choir to sing. We will remain bowed in prayer. And those who have a decision to make to come and trust Christ and to come into this glorious liberty, I invite you to come. Or others who would like to make this your church home by moving your church letter, we invite you to come. While the choir sings, we ask you prayerfully to rise and come and make your decision known unto him just now. Which you will find in the bulletin, and you will be able to follow along as we dedicate this to the glory of God. We have recognized this gift from Mr. and Mrs. Lewis Dudley. It is a lovely Lord's Supper service made of solid brass. In the scripture, we find that brass is firm, strong, and lasting. The tabernacle in the wilderness had a great deal of brass in it, as recorded in Exodus 38:30. The brazen altar, the grates, and all the vessels were made of brass. This was also the same thing in the Temple of Solomon, that many of the vessels used were of solid brass, which gave significance to God's strength, endurance, And we today come to dedicate this new service. I read first of all Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth its handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the ends of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are rich and right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them that have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Shall we bow our heads in a prayer of dedication? Our Father and our God, we come as Solomon of old, bowing humbly before thee to consecrate and dedicate all of these vessels to the glory of God. May they, through the years to come, challenge our hearts to the liberty and the freedom we find through the blood and the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord. With thanks in our hearts for those who have made the gift, and thanks in our heart to God who gave the greatest gift, we come to dedicate this service to his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In loving recognition of this generous gift, for the worship of Christ in the beauty of holiness, the one altogether lovely, for the spiritual challenge and inspiration of the present and coming generation, for the memory of the body of Jesus through the bread served upon these plates,
or the symbol of the blood of Jesus through the Jews served upon the trees. We now dedicate this Lord's Supper service as often as we keep it to show forth the Lord's death till he comes. We now in humble gratitude to him who washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us to sit together in heavenly places. We dedicate our lives in faith and love upon the altar of service. Had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the eve was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples. Our Father in heaven, we come now to this solemn moment of remembering Jesus. May truly in our minds and hearts there be no other thought except our matchless Lord, who gave his body so willingly that we might go free of sin. Bless this now to the memory of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "This is my body which was broken for you, take ye all of it." And on the same night, he taking the cup, he gave thanks. Our Father, we give thanks unto thee for the Passover, which symbolized to us the great deliverance of thy people from bondage in Egypt. As they came out to be a free people, to worship God according to the dictates of their hearts. In grateful gratitude today, we are thankful that under the cross we too have a freedom and a liberty for which we are grateful from sin. And as we call to remembrance this hour, Jesus, may all other memories vanish, and may he be supreme indeed as we meditate upon him, the matchless Savior and Master. In his name we ask it. Amen. Jesus said, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." Says, and when they sang,